Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Law, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
Yes, indeed, we are back at it. It's a Saturday. We're around the 10 o'clock hour talking real estate, always welcoming your phone calls and text messages about real estate. I'll give you the phone number and the text number in just a moment, but let's say hi. Andy's back.
Yeah.
Chris is back.
We're back.
And how was your how was the week or so since we've seen each other? You have a good time, you know, away?
Absolutely.
Your work never stops, though, does it?
No.
It doesn't. That nice little snow kind of put a wrinkle in a few things.
I bet it did.
For a lot of people. But, you know, and then now all of a sudden, now it's Easter weekend, so it's kind of like people are holding off, and so now you kind of wait till after Easter. And I have a feeling a lot of stuff is going to happen next week.
Yeah, I agree.
Coming on the market.
This is a good weekend, too, Denny, for online traffic. So, like, when you're, you know, your pre-MLS listings and some of those things, this is a great opportunity this weekend because a lot of people are together with family, and they say, hey, you know, I've been looking in this area. You know, properties pop up, you know, whatever. And so it's a great – you'll see a lot of online looking. Now, today, we all of us guys were out for breakfast before the show. There are people out like crazy with this kind of weather, this kind of temperatures.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost too bad. If you don't have an open house today, you should.
Yeah, for sure.
Andy and I thought about jogging with everyone, but then we thought better.
Nah,
we just drove along the side and heckled them.
We had to have some breath to be able to talk here.
Let's have breakfast instead.
Hey, you in-shape people. Yeah, as we're eating our Egg McMuffins. Yeah.
What are we going to be talking about today?
Well, I'll tell you what. We brought Mark Pedig and Brent Anderson in with RE/MAX Lakes Area Realty. We call them the Brainerd Lakes guys. We've had them on our show before. Mm-hmm. And we thought we'd obviously get a little update on that market as well. And why don't you throw something out there, Brent, that we always talk in the first segment about how the market is going in general. You guys still going crazy up there.
Yeah, Chris, that's a great question. Thanks for having us. Chris, Andy, Denny.
Yeah.
Always glad to be here.
Yeah.
No, our market's doing great. It's really strong right now. Inventory is a little lacking, probably 15% down from last year at this time. Prices are up, so it's really a great time to sell, and we got a good amount of inventory also coming on the market soon. So, yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
Mark, what kind of inventory do you need up there? Everything?
Everything. You know, it's what we've really seen is the lower level lower price bracket lake homes have been a very, very hot commodity. And because of that, all of our prices have kind of shifted a little bit, but they're all very thin, you know, you know, the biggest thing that we see right now is, you know, number one, you're looking anywhere from a $300,000 lake home to $1.5 million. We need everything. And there's buyers for everything. And if homes are priced halfway right, it doesn't matter the price bracket. They're moving fairly quickly. You know, we've even had, you know, several million-dollar properties that have gone, you know, in less than a week or two, you know, just because of pricing being appropriate.
Yeah, and obviously there's pricing segments, we talk about that all the time, that are like hot little areas. I was out showing, actually, it was yesterday, and we had, it was a $200,000 townhome in Bloomington. And we got there, I mean, and their cars were lined up. I mean, this is the first day on the market. Yeah. We had a showing set up at 5 or 5:30. And there was like 12 shoes that were on the steps to try to get into the house. Mm-hmm. And then there was agents plotted all around there with their clients. And it was just like, you got to be kidding me. But I think what was interesting, too, is that I that's what a seller hopes for. And like, oh, my gosh, that's what we want. We want to get all these people in, create a bidding war, and be able to make more money. But I think what happens sometimes, and it depends on what the property is, mm-hmm. that this is not a big townhome. It's probably 1,400 square feet. And I think people were realizing that, you know what, I can't really have anyone over here. And then we'll probably outgrow this pretty darn quick anyways. Yeah,
no place to park, right?
Yeah, and no place. Yeah, exactly. And so, and then what happens is then all of the imperfections start coming out more because people are looking for a reason not to do it. Because, again, they don't really want to be in multiple offers.
Well, either. I was just going to – Chris, we had – it's funny you say that because we had the exact same example. An old high school friend of mine calls me and says, hey, I'm looking for a place in Maple Grove. The property pops up. It's listed at about $250 in a nice townhouse in Maple Grove. So we wander up there. And I'm sitting there. I got there a couple minutes early, and I'm watching three sets of real estate agents with their clients, you know, literally lined up to go into this property. My client shows up, and we're in the house, and there's multiple people in the house. And my buddy says, you know what? I'm not interested in getting in a fight over a house. So she literally gets cold feet and says, hey, let's hold back. I don't want to be in this environment, because she goes, I don't want to overpay for these properties. And I agreed with her because, you know, you looked at some of the comps that were in the 230s all the way up to maybe 265 for totally renovated. And this one was right in the middle. And so it was like, you know, I get it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so some people get timid with that kind of competition because it's a big decision anyway, let alone the pressure of feeling the, you know, the peer pressure to make a decision fast.
Yeah, in my example, too, is that there were some imperfections in there. And I think what's going to happen is that there's going to be multiple offers, no question, mm-hmm. On this property because there's just nothing available. And it was in a great location. But there was enough imperfections that whoever is going to secure that property and win is then going to have an inspection. And we've all seen what happens on that when you start feeling like, geez, I paid too much for this. Mm-hmm. And now this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And now they come back to that seller and start saying, hey, we got to renegotiate. Then sometimes that comes back and it does the opposite effect of what you wanted.
So what do you suggest? I mean, like you guys, when you're listing a property like that, when you're do you tell the client then to get those to-do list items done so that that doesn't haunt them after the inspection? Or what do you guys do?
Yeah, well, actually, that's what you guys just brought up. It's a great reason to come up to the Brainerd Lakes area. We're out of the hustle and bustle of the metropolitan area, so we don't see quite that much of a fiasco when we're showing homes.
And all of your listings are perfect, right?
They're actually pretty nice. But no, we're always going to recommend to touch things up if it needs to be done, and it all really depends what that customer's looking to do as well.
You know, what I typically do upon securing the listing, the first items we really look at is what are the typical home inspection items that we run across? And my theory is you every house, it doesn't matter if it's new construction, every house has something in it that in every home inspection is always different. You could have two home inspectors going into a house, find completely different items, you know, and so the big thing I try to do with my sellers is really give them that checklist. What do we see typically? Because the fewer red flags that pop up, the major issues don't feel quite as major. You know, where if you do have a major issue but everything else is spotless, it's a lot easier to work through those issues, you know, or that issue. Whereas if it's, you know, that list looks like it's a mile long and, you know, three quarters of that mile is
right.
Simple. It looks intimidating. Yeah. And that's where, you know, absolutely, you have to go through and make sure those GFIs are correct.
Right.
Make sure there's no double tapping in the breaker panel.
We call that the honey-do list.
Yeah.
When I get an absolutely. Inspection back that says, these are all the things we're going to have to do if you don't do them for us. And they a lot of times, agents, I can't believe the stuff that they write into these addendums. Just literally crap that they ask us to do. And it's like, that, as an agent, you should coach your people through that because – it's not worth losing a transaction over three GFIs and an outlet in the garage that doesn't work right. And just do an estimate on the spot. It's $400 worth of electrical work. And then you bring your electrician and get it done the right way, the way you want it done.
Yeah, but here's what happens
okay.
is that now they've gone in that buyer. They've done such a great job for them. They've paid $15,000 over full price, mm-hmm. you know, that the agent got it for them. They don't think that. The agent's kind of thinking, geez, I haven't done really nothing for them. In reality, you got the deal, which right. is good. But now it's kind of like, hey, I'm going to show you how to negotiate. And then they go after the seller for all of this stuff. And mm-hmm. I think from a seller perspective and a listing perspective, I think that's where you have to kind of go back and say, you know, like Mark was saying, hey, take that extra week. I know the market's crazy right now, but if you take that extra week, we're going to solve a lot more problems that are going to come up later on. And then the other thing is, you know, negotiating that purchase agreement in your favor. You know, everyone, you give someone 10 days for an inspection, they use all 10 days.
Right.
You know, you give them five, it's miraculous how they get it done in 5 days.
Right.
You know, if they want the property, they're going to be able to get it done. And so.
So you guys are saying be proactive versus reactive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of it too, and this is what I explained to, you know, the agents on my team and my clients is, you know, really it depends on what side of the negotiation you're on. You know, if you're mm-hmm. representing the buyer, yeah, you're going for the best buyer terms possible. Of course. As a seller, you know, of course, yeah, you're looking at those terms and saying, you know what, we don't really want a 10-day period. You know, we kind of want to have an idea who is the home inspector that you're planning on using.
Well, I still
think that's a huge thing in our market of finding out, hey, who's your home inspector? You know, yeah. We're in a smaller market. We know every home inspector for the most part that is in the homes, and we yeah. know some home inspectors. You don't. We got to plan for an extra $1,000.
We've been for years campaigning back to the old forms committee, asking them to go back to the old way they did it, because then you could have the, you know, that you have 3 days, we have 2 days, you have 2 days, you know, and it was defined and it was a lot easier for agents because then you had the rules up front and it was easier to negotiate. So,
tell you what, it's about time for a quick break here. If you have a real estate type of question, call us or text us, 651-989-9226. Text number, meanwhile, 81807. It's the Real Estate Show here on CCO. If you have that kind of a question related to real estate, call us or text us, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Here again, Chris and Andy.
Yeah, you know, when we left, we were talking about the whole inspection and the process, and typically buyers are asking mm-hmm. for 10 days, and we want to try to shorten that process. But, you know, Mark, what happens to the actual that deadline? When that deadline comes, what happens?
You know, essentially, if there's no agreement in place of repairs needed to be made, things of that nature, that purchase agreement is now full force. There is no inspection.
It's not done. It's in full force. It's yeah. basically saying, hey, everything's fine and we're moving forward.
So that contingency
Whereas before,
expires.
It used to be the opposite. If we right. gave them notice of, you know, hey, we want these things done and it didn't get handled, the purchase agreement was done and canceled.
Exactly. So if there are repairs that need to be made or you know, a buyer is concerned about something, realistically, the agent should be sending, you know, if it's that last day, they should be sending a cancellation along with the amendment and kind of saying, hey, guys, we either need to cancel or we need to commit and this is what you need us to do. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of agents that like to walk that tightrope. And yeah, I just had a client of mine the other day ask me, said, hey, Mark, you know, will this day work for the home inspection? It happened to be the last day of the period. I said, you know, theoretically, yes, we could still do a home inspection, but realistically, we aren't going to be able to really do a whole lot with that.
You're almost going to learn a lot there with them, yeah.
Exactly, and that doesn't put us in a very powerful situation. So we decided, you know, somehow we made the schedule work. We moved it a week earlier, and things are going to work out great. But it's just, you know, but that's the expectation yep. I set too. You know, I think that's where agents really need to make sure they're setting the appropriate expectations with their clients as well.
So what about talking about Lakeshore? I know all three of you guys over there are all Lakeshore guys. You know, what are we seeing in our inspections nowadays regarding Lakeshore that might be different than something that's off the lake? Are you seeing contingencies upon, like, improving the shoreline? Are you seeing, you know, what kind of stuff are you guys seeing?
Well, something you guys got to remember too, obviously, we're in a seller's market. So with the inspections, I try to remind people, you know, this is primarily for the buyers anyways. It's for your peace of mind. It's not really a checklist to go back to the seller with, because there's a lot of people here ready to buy
right.
now, non-contingent, cash, large
down
payment.
So not renegotiating tools.
Yeah, a lot of people try to use it as renegotiating.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting too, on that inspection addendum, nowadays, what you can do is you can basically go back to the seller and say, you know what? I basically want you to tear down the house and rebuild me one on day three of your inspection. And you really have till 10 days to be able to switch and change your mind. So you might have no intention whatsoever in which to be able to do it. You're holding that seller hostage for another 7 days before they can get it back on the market. It's kind of a sad thing. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Sure.
So I don't know.
You know, one thing I've seen on Lakeshore, and it's somewhat of an inspection period, but sometimes we write it off on its own addendum. You know, a lot of people will come up and look at lake properties, and they might find the perfect property, but they need more garage space. But one thing a lot of buyers don't know about is we can only improve 25% of the square footage of the property, the impervious coverage. You know, so you might find the perfect house without a garage. You might not be able to put a garage on it. So that is something that we do commonly see, especially in our area. You know, are we able to put that extra structure up? Are we able to put an addition onto the house? How much closer to the lake can we go? You know, those are all some things, you know, some variances that we might have to get approved.
But that's from a seller standpoint. You need to get the buyer all the information you can. So let's just say on that example, I don't know if I can get a garage on. Maybe I can. Maybe I can't. Well, they're going to spend their whole inspection time. You don't know that as a seller, trying to figure out if they can have a garage. And if we already know that or gave that to them, not only is that going to make it more valuable to that buyer, but it might have gotten a couple other buyers that said, oh, my gosh, it doesn't have a garage.
Buyers typically, they want to buy. But while they're buying, just the buying process, they're also trying to find reasons why not to buy it. And if they don't have that information right up front, it gives them more opportunity to think about why not to do it.
And so you're saying a listing agent does make a difference?
It sure does.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys are being proactive again versus reactive. You're putting all the facts in front of the people so they can make those decisions in a timely fashion with all the facts in front of them. Yeah. I always say that. Buyers are so smart nowadays. They've researched for 2 years before they meet you guys or somebody that wants to show them Lakeshore. And so when they finally get there, all they're doing is going out and confirming what they think they already know. And then if you give them all the things they can't Google, like, you know, what the city's opinion is of your garage or the Lakeshore, you know, hey, you can have another dock or not. And that being proactive, I think, is a great approach.
Totally. Positioning your house. And when I say positioning, we talk about staging, but positioning is exactly that. We got to give them all the information so it gets our value up and create value. Brent, we got a good little text question for you here. Are there restrictions on VRBO rentals, which is vacation rental by owner, rentals in the Brainerd area?
Yes, there are restrictions. A lot of people buying to offset their mortgage using it as a VRBO. We see a lot of that coming in. Each city or county has a little different regulation. It's kind of a sticky spot right now. The cities and the counties don't really know how to enforce these rules that they're putting in place on VRBO. It's kind of funny. I was thinking here the other day, you know, back in the day, there used to be a ton of mom and pop resorts like up and down the shoreline, which didn't even really realize. Mm-hmm. And then now it's kind of coming back to that with everybody using their home as a VRBO. So it's a great way to offset your payment.
Yeah, because all those little cottages went bye-bye, right?
Yeah, and they're gone. The mom and pops are gone.
Everyone's building houses on them.
But think about this, guys. I mean, if you're buying a $700,000, million, you know, second home, look at the taxes. Look at the upkeep. Look at that expense is ridiculously high. And you get to the point of where an offset of income like a VRBO would be a great way to offset it a couple weekends out of the year when you're not there. But as long as they let you do it legally.
I'm sure Brett and Mark could find you some renters too pretty dang quick up there. I mean, everyone's looking for that, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a very common thing right now.
All right. We need to take a break. We have another half hour of the show to go. If you have a question about real estate, 651-989-9226, text us 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on CCO. If you have that kind of a question, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. Or again, the text number 81807. Guys, we have a bunch of both.
Yeah, lots of stuff. I was going to say, we get an off-air comment about the VRBOs and how they're used. And it's a real good point in that. Usually people that do the VRBOs are using it at family reunions or parties, and they're having it's sandwiched between five other homes that, you know, are living their daily life. And now all of a sudden every weekend they have a huge party from a bunch of different people.
But you don't ever have family reunions at your cabin?
I do. Not every weekend.
Oh.
But I'm just saying. I mean, that's another part of the VRBO problem.
You're just thinking it's a big part. Okay.
Well, and some of them, though, some of them don't even advertise as VRBOs anymore because they actually have a consistent clientele from Memorial Day to Labor Day that every year for the last 5 years, that's the house they go to. And,
and
away they go. It's, you know, and some of them,
it's like a resort.
It's like clockwork, and the neighbors actually get to know who's there what weeks.
It's everything. There's pluses and minuses on both sides.
All right, tell you what, let's go to the phones. Cheryl is calling from Blaine, I believe. Cheryl, you're on CCO.
Hi. I have a question. My daughter's been looking for a townhouse and that, and she sees ones that say going to be coming on the market soon. How do you figure out how much then? I assume they want to have like a bidding war. So how do you figure how much you should make an offer, or does it all depend on what you see when you get there?
I think you're exactly right, Cheryl, is what they're trying to do is they're trying to drum up the excitement so then when it finally does come on that a lot of people show up that first day. And there's probably 10, 15 of them or whatever. But what do you think, Andy? Coming soon?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of strategy behind that concept now. And a lot of the agents are trying to avoid the bigger websites that are out there that are just selling your information to get leads coming in. And they're basically trying to get their client. There's been a CMA done on that house, you know, so a market analysis has been done, I guarantee, and they're looking at what are the other properties for sale for. They compare the condition. Your agent, Cheryl, should be doing the same thing. So even if you're finding one that's on Facebook, for an example, that says coming soon, you should get your agent involved, have them doing a market analysis on that house so you know what is a good price. So before you even walk in the door, you're going to know if it's priced right or not, because just because it's listed doesn't mean it's overpriced. And just because it's before it hits the MLS doesn't mean that the price is wrong either. So what we've done in the past is we'll hit those markets, and then what we do is the client that comes in and says, hey, we'll pay you this at price or over, they may not even list the house. And that's where some of these listings aren't even hitting the MLS until after they're sold, and they're being put in there as a comp sold.
You know, one thing I've done with a lot of my clients is, I tell my buyer clients that every property is actually worth something different to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as our CMAs, we're trying to look at the market as a whole and on an average say what should it be worth. But there are different scenarios for every client and every buyer that it may be worth more or less to them because of location, because of layout. Who knows, maybe an old family member owned. You know, there are all sorts of scenarios where a property might be worth something else. So, if you find something you really, really like, you really have to put your best foot forward and say, you know, what am I willing to pay to where if it's a dollar more, you know what, I'm fine with not having it.
And I think that whole coming soon thing, I personally don't really like it. And I'll use it sometimes, but not all the time. It depends what you're doing, because sometimes if you do a coming soon, you're all the anticipation's there and people are like, when's it coming on? When's it coming on? When's it coming on? And then all of a sudden, maybe it doesn't come on. Maybe they're not ready. It's supposed to say.
But coming soon doesn't mean that you can't show it. See, most coming soons that I see up in the Blaine market where she's talking, we're allowing showings to happen. We're paying full real estate commissions. They're doing everything pre-MLS. And it's being done very successfully. I mean, you look at some of the biggest real estate teams in the North Metro, and it's being done every day. So it's something you do have to pay attention to.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Mary is calling from Menominee, I believe. Mary, you're on CCO.
Hello. Thank you. I have a question about lake home. So when people are looking for a lake home, are they looking for a turnkey, or are some people willing to put in some sweat equity?
I think that they're looking all over the place, guys. I mean, from it's a teardown to they just want a cabin, they'll slowly fix it up, and then the people want it done.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Mary. You know, a lot of these buyers that are out there looking at lake homes right now, they're really not finding what they want. So they are putting in a lot of sweat equity and a lot of improvements to the home after they purchase it.
Well, don't you guys think, too, though, that there's people that when they sell their house as is on the lake, they're assuming that somebody else wants to come in and make it their own? So why would they spend all the money and energy and effort to make it, you know, fixed up, but it's the wrong direction maybe from the style somebody new would want it to be? So is there some thought behind that?
You know, I think a lot of it depends on the lakeshore in and of itself. You know,
totally.
if it's a property that needs a lot of work, that may be fine. If it's a very premier lake lot, the lake lot might be worth more than the home,
totally. Right?
And is in a lot of scenarios. So I think a lot of it depends on the situation. You know, what I always look at with my clients is, you know, with my sellers, it's what do you want to get? And it might cost some money to try to get that number, and it may not be worth it. You know, but yeah, you know, buyers, they're all over the place right now because we do have a ton of buyer pressure, and a lot of it just kind of gets down to, okay, does the seller have a budget, and are the items that need repair budget-worthy items?
So I've got a question for all three of you. So I have a property that maybe isn't in the best condition, and I know that the land is worth more than the house, but do you dare take the house down ahead of time, anticipating what somebody else wants to do, or do you leave the house up so that you're available to more kinds of financing? Because a house-cabin combo, you can finance differently than just vacant land. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We just had that done on a lot here right in Lakeshore and on Gull Lake. Owner chose to take the house down prior to selling just because of the fact that it was pretty much a teardown. Mm-hmm. And if the house is a teardown, you're basically going to be going back to the in-house financing, whether it's a home or a vacant lot.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, though, you're also pushing, because if you have multiple types of buyers that could purchase that place, even if the house is junky, at least there's a perception of that someone, hey, might buy it for that. That might raise your land purchaser up too. So there's a way in which to do that. I just ran into that as well.
What about being grandfathered, you guys? So like, Mark, so you have a cabin that's nice and close to the lake. You wouldn't want to take that down because don't you then lose your, you know, closeness? Now you have to follow to the current setbacks where you have to go back, you know, quite a ways more.
Yeah, and those are really you know, that's really the tough part about it. Mm-hmm. You know, as you might have a unique scenario like that where, yeah, you may not be able to get it back. You know, boat houses are a very common thing, you know, or I should say uncommon thing that we find on the lakes. You can't build them anymore. So if you have a property with a boathouse, you know, there's some huge value there, especially if there's any opportunity to rehab it and make it a real usable structure.
All right, 651-989-9226 if you want to call in your real estate question or send a text. That number is 81807. Terry is calling from Coon Rapids. Hi, Terry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I like your show.
Thank you.
I have a question for you guys about something that I don't understand called an unwarrantable loan or a property being unwarrantable. My husband and I put an offer on a townhouse. We're well qualified, pre-qualified, above the full price asking. And the agent came back and said, the listing agent came back and said, well, it's going to be unwarrantable, so you're going to have a hard time. And our money guy found only one at like 7% interest.
Yep.
And so I was kind of explained to us as the builder of the development had too many properties. And then it could potentially be sold to investors?
I think what happened is there's too many investors in there. And so what happens is that the title companies don't want to warrant it, which is title insurance, which insures the loan against default. And so what they're saying is that it's unwarrantable. So I think you're almost going to have to – I mean, depending on what that lender, I'd be interested to know who that is, because a lot of them just won't do it. If it's not warrantable, that means that, hey, if we get it back, I mean, we don't have to worry about – anything, you know, it's a problem, and no one wants to be able to finance that. But I don't know your total situation, but that's what it sounds like. And sometimes it's an unwarrantable condo because of there's too many investors in there, and investors can walk away a lot easier than a homeowner typically.
Or is it the part to do with the association as well, where the association might be in default or defunct?
Could be, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 651-989-9226 is the phone number. Text is 81807.
Yeah, we got a lot of text messages. What happens when I'm getting ready to sell if I think my basement has asbestos tiles? I mean, if you think and you don't know, you don't have to disclose that you have asbestos tiles. But, I mean, that's something that you're going to probably end up finding out. And to me, I would want to find that out ahead of time and get it taken care of before I actually put it on the market. Now, if you don't have the money in which to be able to do that, that's a different situation. It also depends what the rest of the house is in. You know, if it's a rehab type home, the rehabbers might take that on while they're doing all the other stuff.
Let's take a break. We have more show to come, more real estate show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. A few clouds out there, otherwise sunny skies. Our current CCO temperature reading, 59. And good morning. Welcome back to the real estate show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Still have time for your real estate questions by phone or by text. 651-989-9226 is the phone number. Text, meanwhile, 81807.
Let's hit a couple texts and we'll get that, Kevin and Wilmer. Who pays for the inspection, the buyer or the seller? Typically.
Buyer. Well,
it's the buyer for sure.
So typically once you secure the loan, secure the property with a purchase agreement, that it's contingent upon an inspection typically paid by the buyer.
What do you guys see for inspection prices down here typically?
Depends on the size of the house.
$300 to $600. I mean, they're all over. Then the radon tests, because of the new rules and everything, all shot up to like $200.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you seeing condos having multiple offers as well? In your opinion, do condos hold their value? It's a lifestyle. Absolutely, they'll hold their value. A lot of people, I think, typically they look at condos as apartment buildings, you know. But sometimes you'll have real huge association fees. But look into that a little more, because a lot of times it covers all your utilities as well.
Yep.
Parking. So, no, condos hold their value. We can talk, I mean, just surrounding this station right here, the condos have held their values wonderfully. Let me see.
But let's not
go to
talk,
Kevin?
But let's not talk about parking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parking where?
All right, let's go to the phones. Kevin is calling from Wilmer, I believe. Kevin, what's your question, please?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. My wife and I own a lake home, and we're at 25% rule, and we're contemplating putting in a cement driveway. Now, that cement driveway is basically going to cap us at that 25% rule. So is it better for resale value to have some flexibility with that if you were going to resale that in a few years?
This is going to be good. Let's get all four opinions here. I say save the space for later.
For pavers or something? Could you do the driveway with pavers?
Yeah, you can paver it, and then that's pervious, you know, so you don't lose that impervious part. What do you think, Brent?
You know, I do like that concrete driveway. I think that's a great selling feature, but if there's other avenues with pavers and whatnot, that may be an option to look at as well.
Yeah, I think the pervious pavers is that's definitely the recommendation from a lot of people I work with up in the Brainerd area. It leaves that available space because garage space is very, very important with a lake property because you typically have a lot of toys.
What about gravel? I mean, I remember the old days you go to the cabin, it had gravel driveway right up to the – I mean, is that just so undesirable now that people fight it, or is that still okay? That's the original.
Is that
driveway,
right next to the outhouse?
Yeah. Welcome to my luxurious cabin.
Usually like that, but yeah. I mean, but I think especially if you have room going towards the lake, mm-hmm. I think it's even more important to keep that open. But it's interesting because there's sometimes, you know, you have a deck and you see a deck out in the back, but it becomes a platform if it's not attached to the house. Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't affect your impervious surface. So there's a lot of little games that you can play, but having some available. And then here's the important part, letting people know that it's available, you know, when you're selling mm-hmm. it. Because if you don't let them know, typically people don't know, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, we got another one. What about foreclosure properties? Should a person invest in these? Brent, what do you think?
Do you guys have many up there?
I know we don't got a lot going on. I represent people buying foreclosures and banks selling them. It's a great opportunity. It's not for everybody, though, because mm-hmm. there's usually a lot of work that needs to be done. Cash would need to be paid in most cases to buy them non-contingent, so you could run into issues, so you have to be able to handle those when they come up.
But you guys don't have a whole bunch of them.
No, we don't.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does right now. We're at some of the historic lows for defaults. It's pretty hard to find them.
You know, buying a foreclosure is just like buying any other home. You still have to make sure you're buying it at the right price, and right. really you're going to have a lot of undisclosed issues because mm-hmm. there are no disclosures. The bank doesn't know anything about the property, so when I'm typically representing a buyer on one, it's we have to be prepared that the plumbing is shot, that the electrical is not up to date. You know, and so you take a little bit different approach and just making sure you're covering yourself.
Here's a text that I haven't heard of, so hopefully our little Brainerd Lakes area guys know this one. Or Andy probably does. Andy knows everything. Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm on my way up to a lake property in Pine City. The property is landlocked with no access road. We've been told to look into a cartway. What can you tell me about cartways? Everyone's looking at each other here. Anybody? Anyone knows cartways?
I've never heard that term.
I haven't either.
I'm assuming it means an easement.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
But if it's divided, usually you have to have access to the property. There's rules, even in, you know, as far north as you want to go, there's rules with having access to before they let somebody subdivide, if they don't own the contiguous property, they have to have access to a road for fire, for, you know, everything else. And so I would guess they're talking about an easement of some kind.
Yeah, I think there are cartways, too. I don't think you see it a lot, but it's where you're almost forcing your way through somebody's property. Like a cartway to access yours.
Yep. Makes sense.
Yeah. You know, here's another good thing. Pavers are not necessarily pervious any longer. That's true. There is some. So you got to check in with your local municipality and what they require and what it is. So keep that in mind. Did we miss any of these?
I don't think there's one.
Do we have buyers looking for a lake home up in Cable on the large lake? I don't know where Cable is. Anybody?
Cable, Wisconsin?
Cable, it must be.
No, it is.
Cable, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I don't have
Northern
it. You guys got any buyers over there? No. No buyers.
All right.
Okay.
651-989-9226, text 81807. We have about 3 minutes to go from now, guys.
Yeah, I think it would be good to you guys maybe give a little, why would someone come up to Brainerd and why would they want to buy something up from the city here, whether it's a second home or moving up there?
You know, really, it's just a lifestyle. Get away from the metro area if that's what you're looking to do, or just enjoy the lakes and the gulfs that we have to offer.
I heard there's a golf course opening up today up there.
I'm teeing off at 2 o'clock. You guys better hurry up.
Yeah. Where? Where it's opening?
Cragan's opens today. All of our courses are slowly opening up. I think Madden's Classic is opening sometime this week. I think 24th rings a bell for some reason. But all of our courses are slowly opening up. Really moving to the Brainerd Lakes here, it's really about that lifestyle, kind of slowing down a little bit. We have a lot of people right now that they're a year or two out from retiring, and they're actually making their purchases now. They're going to rent it out. They're going to slowly move their way up there and then sell their house in the Twin Cities here in a year or two. That's a very, very common trend for us right now. But it's just the lifestyle. You know, you kind of slow down. You get frustrated when you hit one stoplight. I mean, that's the kind of life that I absolutely enjoy. And yeah, TF at Craigens at 2 is not bad either.
No, I was just going to say, we talk about the people that we know now that retire are totally a different retirement plan than the people when I was a kid. You know, it's like people now are like, hey, I'm retired. I'm active. I'm golfing. I'm going out to eat. We're traveling. We're, you know, versus when I was a kid, I remember they'd sit in the lawn chair and watch the kids play or something. You know what I mean? It was like retirement was different back then. It's kind of fun to see it be active grandparents. And
yeah, totally. Hey, say, if you want to get information on any of us, we got a website.
That's a new one.
Andy and Rooney.
All
Andy
one word.
AndyandRooney.com. Mm. And then, yeah, we'll usually post stuff that we talk about the show. And so later on, we'll get all the stuff posted on there. And people can go to that and use it. And if you guys want to contact Mark or Brent here, we'll get you this information and obviously, same with Andy and myself.
Right.
And I think sometimes we give too many contact infos, and yeah, this is the easiest way to go.
And we also, I know you guys do like cabin searches for people. So down in the cities, they can see what's coming available if they're interested in a certain lake or a certain price point, and then you guys email them. And then they can come up, play around a golf with you guys, go have lunch on the lake or whatever, and go check out some properties. Is that easy to do?
Call me anytime. I'll set up the tee time. You name the course. No, yeah.
Just not 2 o'clock today, right?
Yeah, just not 2 o'clock today. But no, absolutely. You know, that's part of learning the experience up here. ViewBrainerdLakesHolmes.com is where we try to send our people to.
And again, to get a hold of you two guys at one brand new, I keep thinking of the character on 60 Minutes, Andy Rooney.
Yeah.
But it's Andy and Rooney.
We tried Andy and Chris, but they didn't have that work.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you all. Good to see you again. We'll be back again next week here on CCO with more Real Estate Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.